You just give me a countdown.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
oh, okay.
You're good. Yeah, you do it whenever. I'll just chop this part off.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. This is Todd Wright, and this is your Tampa Win Cup podcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. You need not ask what type of law Brandon Legal Group specializes in when you are in need of legal assistance, and you can call them for a free consult at any time. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Brandon Legal Group, huge supporters of the Todd Wright family of podcasts and Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. And the Tampa Win Cup podcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Three locations in the Tampa Bay area for family fun. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld once said, there is no such thing as fun for the whole family. Well, Pin Chasers is pretty damn close. I've been there myself. I've seen 8-year-olds to my left and 88-year-olds to my right, and they're both having a similarly good time. It's very affordable. There's always promotions and specials. You have the East Pasco location at 6816 Gale Boulevard, the Midtown location, 50 lanes of bowling at the Midtown location, 4847 North Armenia, and the location just north of Tampa International Airport, the Veterans location at 5555 West Hillsborough. Pin Chasers also gives me plenty of prizes for my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. So last year, this is episode 3 of this year's Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, which we now call the Tampa Win Cup Podcast for just this year. And for the reasons why, my first guest in the history of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast is here to explain why we changed the name, ladies and gentlemen, from 102.5 The Bone and Drew Garabo Live and Lightning Power Play, host of On the Bench. Here is Seth Kushner. Seth?
Todd, I'm very nervous, and I realized that when we had a conversation about naming this podcast the Tampa Win Cup Podcast, I kind of invited myself on it because I said I thought you were calling me to invite me on the podcast, and after we hung up, I realized that you're a solo act, Todd, and then when you just said that you don't really have any guests, I hope that I didn't force myself on your podcast.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine because it allows me to see you. Hopefully this opens the door to future visits with other members of Drew Garabo Live, considering how your show promotes the Tampa Bay Lightning, are fans of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I thought I had a good relationship with Eric Blankenship, and you guys trump my relationship with the vice president of marketing for the Tampa Bay Lightning and Eric Blankenship. On the day the All Blacks were revealed, you guys got stuff. I still got nothing.
Well, Todd, I didn't get the jersey, just so you know. Only Drew
got the jersey.
Drew got the jersey. I have a long sleeve Adidas shirt they gave me, which I actually wear 3 or 4 times a week, so which is, you know, a lot better than wearing a jersey around town.
I have a photo off your Instagram account, and I screenshot it, and I sent it to Blankenship, and it's him holding up 2 of the new hats. And Blankenship's response was, "Boy, I look angry." And it's just the intensity. You can speak to this. The intensity of Eric Blankenship. Anything he does, he's intense about it, and it just shows he cares.
Well, he does, and I've had Eric Blankenship on my podcast many times, and if you ask me, do I want to interview a guy in a marketing department, I think 10 out of 10 times it's going to be a no.
Right.
But there's something about Eric Blankenship, how involved he is. I mean, how involved he was with getting this new black jersey off the ground, how much he cares, how much I've learned about the Lightning just talking to him. That's essentially a year-round job. With how deep in the playoffs the Lightning have gone the last few seasons, these guys don't have an off season, so to hear about how he kind of works in family time and you still have to be creative and do all these things, man, it's been fascinating to learn his end of the job, because if you're just a casual fan of a sports team, you think the team are just the guys on the ice, but there's all these people in the organization that are along for the ride.
He's been following along this Tampa Win Cup thing. So rather than me, this is very important here in episode 3 of this podcast for people that – because here's the people listening to this podcast. There are people listening to the podcast just because I host the podcast, which is very flattering. There are people who listen to this podcast because they are Lightning fans. Also, very flattering. Thank you for listening last year. Thank you for listening this year. And now I'm hoping to pick up people who listen to Drew Garabo Live, who just are like, oh, I hear this term Tampa Win Cup on Drew Garabo Live. They invented it. And now there's this podcast. So I am riding your coattails a little bit. You gave me your blessing. Drew gave me your blessing. But tell me about the day and the show, because I was listening live, how this all began.
I walked into the office probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I had just seen on Twitter somebody said Lord Stanley needs a tan. And it irks me because I just feel like we need something better. I'm a creative guy, so I just said we need to do something better. So I talked to Drew, the host of Drew Grabo.
It does feel as antiquated as give me liberty or give me death. It feels like it's that old. I agree. It needs an update.
It doesn't feel fun. So why, we're all angry guys here. And I just said, hey, I hate that. And Drew said, I hate it too. Well, said, let's figure something out. So Drew's on the air and he's just talking about how I think the perception is with other hockey cities that we're stupid in the South and all these things. So Drew just kind of shouted out, we need something really simple and stupid since that's how people potentially view us. And he goes, Tampa win cup. And I thought that he misspoke. I went, did you mean Tampa wins the cup or what? No. And he said, no, Tampa win cup. For some reason, Todd, you just say something on the radio and it resonated and it took off and people started tweeting us about it. Somebody, a listener, made us a giant sign that we now hang in the studio that says Tampa win cup. Various businesses around town, Papa John's, who I know that you've done some stuff with.
I saw you post that on your Instagram today.
Yes.
What Papa John's was that?
I'm not sure. My people haven't told me yet, but okay. I'm hoping it's the one that you do work with. But
it kind of the back of it kind of looked like Mike Lentz's store on Waters.
It was on Waters.
And that's Mike Lentz's store, and Mike plays in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. I kind of wondered that because Mike's also a fan of everything you guys do and everything I do. Huge supporters of
this. Yeah, Todd Wright. I'm talking about a Papa John's billboard. And he said it looks like the Papa John's that's on Waters. I mean, you know everything about everything. That is very impressive. So, yeah, so if you see Tampa win cup on its own and you don't know the story, you might think that it's the dumbest thing ever. And I totally get that. And you might even understand where it came from now and you might think it's stupid. But that's how it started. I compare it to how organic the stick carrier movement was with Justin Pawlowski.
Good comparison.
And eventually the Bucks embraced that. They went out to a practice and Dirk Cutter was there and they took pictures and Jason Light. They invited all of those guys out there. And I feel like we're not as insane as the stick carriers, but it's just something we wanted to do. And it would be great if the Lightning embraced it. If the Lightning threw out a Tampa Win Cup hashtag, it's okay if it doesn't happen. Tampa International Airport. They tweeted out Tampa Win Cup this past week.
They did.
They did, yeah. So we've had it's been legit. Charlie Belcher, Paul Delgado, a lot of people from Fox 13 have embraced it. So, in radio, we like when things take off, and we don't need credit. It was just something we wanted to do to show that we're fans of the Lightning.
Well, you should get credit. I'm someone that always on my 17 plus years in national radio and even locally. It's amazing how many friends you make when you actually attribute where you got something, rather than sounding like you stole it or invented the idea.
Oh, yeah.
So I make it very clear on every podcast I'm going to do the entire postseason, whether Tampa win cup or Tampa not win cup, that it came from you guys. And, it's my way of, and I know we talked about this on your Lightning Power Play show as well coming up later this weekend, it's my way of giving you guys a push and riding your coattails at the same time.
Well, I mean, that's what these relationships are for. Like, we get something out of it, you get something out of it. I mean, that's why we're doing this.
That show that you did, because I usually listen to the show about a segment and a half or two segments. That's usually about the time that I have to listen to your show, and I get plenty out of
that's
that.
All you need, Todd.
I get plenty out of that. That show I listened until you dropped the topic, so I was there for. I think you went from about 2 to 3:45.
I thought we went too long on that, Todd.
No, so. You didn't, because it just kept going, and then I started texting Blankenship. I was emailing him, and then I even threw a hashtag, I don't know if anyone's done this, TWC, breaking it down even more and adding sort of more vagueness to it, where either you know it or you don't. So one of my favorite things was how the way I wish I had interacted with callers the way you guys do. Because you guys let the way you treat callers enhances Drew Garabo Live. I was always afraid. I'm going to admit this now. When I did local radio in Tampa Bay, I was always afraid. If I told a caller what I thought, that the caller sucked, I was going to lose listeners. I was afraid. So rarely did I treat a caller badly. I treated them almost like a guest, and sometimes I left them on too long, and people said, well, why did you? And I'm like, I'm like, it's the highlight of his day, and I'm like, I appreciate that he listens to the show. I wish I treated callers the way you guys did, because you just let them have it, and clearly you're not losing any listeners. You're gaining audience.
Well, you know, well, here's the thing I'll say about how you treated your callers, Todd. You treated your callers so well that when you were on the radio in Tampa, and I was, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, I called you to talk about the White Sox. I mean, I would call you to talk about things that were I only cared about. You weren't even talking about, and you still let me on, and you still heard me out, and you still gave me your expert opinion. So I appreciate that. If you were rough with callers, you might have ruined my life, and I might have never gotten into radio.
Nice of you to say. But you guys are always great with children, kids as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because they're kids.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm like, I hate when kids call. I hate when parents put their kids on the phone, okay, and they think it's funny. If a kid's just at home and their parents left them for some reason, yeah, we'll talk to that kid and go like, what the hell happened to you?
Right.
But I don't like when parents think it's funny to have their kids call up and do some sort of bit, because we've got enough bits. We don't need you putting your kid on the phone.
Right. So that day, people were calling in with their phrases,
yes,
to try to better Tampa Win Cup, which I don't know if you expected that response, but the way you guys took anything that people called in. So I'm going to make one up that someone called in and said, bring the cup to the bay.
Yes.
Okay, I don't think a caller said that. And then there'd be this pause, and Drew would say, John, what do you think? John Senning would say, like, well, I like the cup part, so let's keep that. But bring the to the bay. No bay. But there's Tampa Bay, but we could just shorten it. And you built everything back into the original. I just thought it was great radio. It was a lot of fun. And I thought there's something here. And clearly there's something here. We're going to post this podcast before game one. You guys have said a couple of times, if you get a Tampa Win Cup chant in the stands at Amalie Arena, I think we're going to hear it at game one. Somewhere along the way.
But here's the thing.
I'd rather hear that than the guys up top, God bless them, doing soccer chants. It's not a freaking soccer game. It's a hockey game. I love that you guys are there, how into it you are, but it's a hockey game, not a soccer game. So maybe those guys up there, were they Sticks of Fire?
Sticks of Fire, yes.
Which always to me sounds more like a venereal disease, but I digress. If Sticks of Fire can do something with Tampa Win Cup, I'll never say a bad word about their soccer chants again. Is that a good challenge to them?
That's a good challenge. So, I mean, I've had them on my podcast before. I might have to reach out.
Good guys?
Solid guys, yeah. Solid guys. Not guys that I would want to sit next to for a full game, but I feel like they're guys that we need as a team to show that we're legit and we have hardcore fans. I'm impressed with the Sticks of Fire because they march into the games. And, I mean, they keep
that, I like the march.
Yeah, they keep that energy up the whole game, so I appreciate that. But the thing is, to get a Tampa Win Cup chant, I always felt like that might be something that we have to start, but I could just contact those guys. They start, and hopefully everybody kind of follows along.
Now, you guys have done on-the-air different versions of a chant. Do you have a favorite way that you'd like to see the chant at a game go? Because you guys have done it so many different ways with inflections here, pauses here. What is Seth's favorite?
I think we would have to kind of go along the lines of a chant that's already been established where, you know, I think it's at the Bucks games where it's Tampa Bay.
Right.
I think we'd have to go Tampa Win Cup. Tampa Win Cup.
Not bad.
It's
not bad because, yes, it is part of the history of this, because I was a kid going to those early Buck games at Tampa Stadium, you know, back before George Michael was allegedly playing concerts there. That was another one of my favorite shows that you guys did recently, where the callers actually enhanced the show because they helped you mess with Garabo that day.
Wow, I'm finding out that Todd loves all the shows that drive me absolutely crazy.
Oh, that show drove you crazy?
Things that sometimes aren't necessarily planned, where I'm like, why do I sit around and think about the show if we're not going to do any of this stuff? And then a topic like, where did George Michael play in 1998 takes off?
Right.
But it's the dumbest stuff that always resonates. So I can see why that happened.
So, yeah, the the Tampa, I actually came to dislike when the Bucks moved from Tampa Stadium, which at the end was Houlihan Stadium, because it was the Glazers taking money out of one pocket and putting it in another pocket to put Houlihan's name on it, and then moving into Raymond James Stadium. That I thought that cheer was going to go away, and it didn't. So that's been around for 40 years. So for you to say, yeah, if one side of the arena says Tampa instead of Bay, now you'll have the people who don't know Tampa Wind Cup saying Bay. The Wind Cup people need to educate the Bay people that know that's the Bucks cheer. This is the Lightning one.
Well, it's all about educating the public and all the Lightning fans right now, and I think that I feel like more people still need to hear about Tampa Wind Cup. I don't know if we're going to be ready for a chant in Game 1. I don't know if we're going to be ready for a chant this series, but as the Lightning win and as it builds, I think people are going to find out about Tampa Wind Cup. They'll find out where it came from, and hopefully deeper into this run, we can get that chant going. It would be awesome if just the Lightning just did a hashtag Tampa Wind Cup. That I would feel that would make me feel complete if we could get that from them.
At the risk, let's end on this note. At the risk of saying something that that alienates a portion of your audience or the Tampa Wind Cup movement. You know what? Speaking of the 40 plus year history of pro sports in Tampa Bay, I kind of like that you guys gave the finger to the Tampa Bay term that most people around the country never use when referring to our sports teams, especially. So here's a referee, and you will hear this Wednesday night if there's a penalty on, let's say, Paquette. Go figure. Here's the call on Paquette. Ref turns the mic on. We got Tampa, 2 minutes, slashing. They never say Tampa Bay. They never say it. TSN never says it. Hockey Night in Canada never says it. NBCSN barely ever says it. You guys are kind of following the trend. It was Hugh Culverhouse, and I think a little help from the great Tom McEwen, who hatched the Tampa Bay term. But it is not embraced by anyone outside the Tampa Bay area who doesn't understand that it means the region, not a body of water. So I kind of like, I know you didn't mean it this way because you kept it so simple. It's the keep it simple stupid theory that there's no Bay in it. It's Tampa, which so many people around the United States and Canada refer to our sports teams.
Todd, you know who actually is embracing Tampa Bay? And I saw this last night, WrestleMania 2020. It said Tampa Bay. And so my wife pointed that out, and I said, you know what? I mean, they're obviously in tune with it because a lot of wrestlers spend a tremendous amount of time here, and wrestling has a rich history in Tampa. But I like that WWE is embracing Tampa Bay 2020.
You know why they're doing that? That's Rob Higgins. Rob cares more about the Tampa Bay term than anyone with the Lightning, anyone with the Bucks, anyone with the Rays. The Women's Final Four. What did it say on the logo?
Tampa Bay.
Everything Rob Higgins does has that branding, and I think it's that branding with the WWE, Tampa Bay. And yes, during Raw, that was a beautiful sort of promo.
It was, yeah. It's going to be incredible.
Very Pirates of the Caribbean-ish. Yeah, I mean, for that to, yeah, I think that was very good. All right, well, we'll wrap it here. I look forward to having you and or Drew and or John. No way in hell I'll get Mike on this podcast.
You don't want her.
No
on this
way
button.
In
hell.
But I do want to hit her up for 1, 2, or she would do 8, 10 tickets for WrestleMania 36. Because I found out, all right, we'll end on this note because I did an entire Toddcast on the WrestleMania press conference. I have already asked the proper people with the Buccaneers who would sell suites for WrestleMania. And for every event, there are certain suites that can be bought on a single event basis.
Okay.
All right. What do you think the high end of a max capacity suite before the WWE sets the pricing for WrestleMania 36?
They've given you a price.
They've given me the estimate because WWE hasn't set the pricing yet. I've gotten the range that they believe it will be based on location and capacity. So give me what you think is the lowest number I might spend on a suite, and then the highest number they quoted me before the WWE comes in and says, yeah, it's actually going to be this price.
Is this a 20-person kind of?
The smallest suite is 8.
Okay.
I think the biggest one might be 20 or 24.
I'm going to say an eight-person suite they're going to have at $4,000.
That is correct.
Is it?
Look at you.
Wow.
Man, you're in the wrong. You nailed it right on the number.
Where could I take
you're
this
going
knowledge?
Right up to the stage and pulling a $100 bill out of Bob Barker's suit pocket. And thank you for the two of you that know that reference.
Okay, well, I'm not even going to guess the 20 or the 24 one since I nailed
20,
that
000.
One. Okay, that's
20,000.
That's
so. I thought about that with my Brandon Legal Group guys because two guys want to go, and I said, "Well, we could go in on a suite together." I said, "Yeah." So the early feedback is it's for eight people. It's going to be about $4,000, and they're like, "Wow, that's crazy." So that wasn't like, "Yeah, we're in."
Todd, you don't want any part of that because WrestleMania was a 7.5 hour show this year, and if you can't stay at a
I
Lightning
believe
game,
it's still going.
Yeah, and if you can't stay at a Lightning game for the full three periods,
no,
I,
that's
I don't...
true. But if I have a suite, I have my own room. And I've gone to two previous WrestleManias, and if I'm sitting right down there on the wall or a couple rows behind Micah and Bray Wyatt and all those wonderful people, I can handle that. I can do enough bathroom breaks. And let's face it, much like in golf, there's always a joke about on the pairing sheet, it's the hot dog and a beer pairing where you leave the rope to go to the bathroom, get a hot dog and a beer because you don't want to watch any of these guys play through. And then you come back to see Mickelson or Tiger or Jordan Spieth or Dustin Johnson. There are matches at WrestleMania that are hot dog, beer, and bathroom break matches. I think they're at concerts. I'm a huge Billy Joel fan. There's one song every show that is my bathroom break for Billy Joel because I don't need to hear it.
Which one, The Entertainer?
No, it's Stiletto.
Mm.
I just don't need to hear it live. That's my bathroom break.
Everybody's got to have one.
Yeah, no matter how much you like. You and Drew are bigger on bands and things. Okay, so favorite band, go.
Oh, man. It's a band called AFI, but I would say probably for this audience, if they're more familiar, I'd probably say, Chili Peppers are up there.
Fine.
Green Day.
Okay. Let's say Green Day. What song is your bathroom break at a Green Day show?
Because
you don't want to say anything bad, but there is a song where you're like, yeah, I don't need to hear this one. I got to go.
It's a short one, but I don't like Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. You know, I hope you had the time of your life. That's a shorter song, so I'd probably go to the bathroom during that one or a Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah, and the Time of Your Life song just it kind of feels like it was played in almost like every 90s teen or rom-com.
It was, yeah, it was. All they right. ruined it.
That's Seth Kushner, and I hope to have future visits with Seth or Drew or John and listen to Drew Garabo live every weekday afternoon, 2 to 6 on 102.5 The Bone. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you, Todd.
The Tampa Wind Cup podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. You do not need to live nor work nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. To call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult, 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. And by Pin Chasers, three locations of family fun. And if you don't have a family, go out to Pin Chasers. You can find one. East Pasco, 6816 Gale Boulevard, Midtown, 4847 North Armenia, the Veterans location, 5555 West Hillsboro. There are promos all the time at Pin Chasers. Even occasionally, Drew Garabo shows up at Pin Chasers, and you can buy Yinglings for $1 on select nights at Pin Chasers, whether Drew is there or not. I thank Pin Chasers for their support of the Tampa Wind Cup podcast and the Todd Wright Tour. We'll talk to you next time on the Tampa Wind Cup podcast. Thanks for listening.